Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for the ability to learn from your word. Thank you for allowing the precious Holy Ghost to live, that lives inside of us, to speak to us, to lead us, to guide us, to give us knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, that which our human minds cannot fathom. On today, Holy Spirit, move in our lives. You know what we need. You know what we suffer from. And even when we're not transparent, the word says that you also can discern or intercede on our behalf. So we thank you, oh God, for what you're doing. Thank you for sending a comforter. Thank you for sending one who can be with us and wrap us in your loving, guiding arms at all times, even in a time of lack, a time of loss, a time of darkness, a time of suffering. You are present. So we thank you this morning and acknowledge that it's you and only you. Have your way this morning, that I may decrease and that you may increase, for the uplifting and building of your kingdom, so that you can press us, squeeze us, and get all of the glory out of everything that we so desire to accomplish for your namesakes. In Jesus' name, put your hands together. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. If you have children, they are in their service down on the other end of the building, having their own service. They have a full-blown service on first Sundays. Also, we have a special treat for them today. We have a gospel rap artist coming in. So, yes, your kids probably going to show up after service rapping. And you just need to make sure that there's, I almost said something, rapping the word of God. Amen. Oh, giving you good, godly, Christian principles and word. Somebody say preach, pastor. Somebody say strongholds. Strongholds, strongholds, strongholds. Strongholds are deadly. Amen. This is a matter of life and death. It's not about how good you can look. It's not about having such pride during your situation and trying to be brave. Strongholds are a matter of life and death. If I could just add and pin something here, the very thing that you may be going through may be something that you or your physician cannot handle. I'll even fact go a step further. Not only you and your physician, but maybe you're a psychiatrist. Did I say that right? Amen. Yeah. You're going through psychosis here, and you're trying to figure it out, and guess what? They can't do it either. What you're going through is something that's solely and only fit by God. God is the only one that can pull you out of it. It's called a stronghold. Let me tell you what a stronghold is. And I'm always baffled by what God gives me to study and what he gives me to read, because the Bible simply tells us to run away from what we call and what the Bible calls temptations. It says to run away from and flee. But what do you do when they are coming, watch this, from your very own emotions? Oh, gosh, that was a paradox, right? It tells us to flee from temptations, but what happens when it comes from your very own emotions? How do you flee from yourself? Talk to me. If you've done it, talk to me. How do you flee from your very own thoughts? The things that you lay down with, the things that you wake up with. Far too many Christians, I've learned this in my pastorship, as far too many Christians today that are held hostage by what the Bible calls strongholds. Not just any stronghold, but we're truly held hostage oftentimes by the strongholds of emotion. So in turn, you could put it together, emotional strongholds. What are emotional strongholds, Pastor? I thought you never asked, so I put it on the screen for you. An emotional stronghold. Watch this. Write it down. Take a picture. It is something invisible behind the scenes cooperating with something visible on the scenes that is keeping trapped in the situation, keeping you trapped in the situation that I'm in. It's something that is invisible behind the scenes that is cooperating with something that is visible, that has great visibility on the scenes, and that is keeping you trapped in your situation. Some of you are thinking about it right now. Emotional strongholds. The reason why I saw fit to put this gentleman up there with that turnkey in his back is because a lot of us are turned by our emotions. And in fact, all of us are, to be real with you. But when your emotions take over your life, you can parallel it with or fit it into what we would call an emotional stronghold. Let me just put this in there also. I got all types of things in my pocket this morning. If you left the ministry, if you left a relationship, if you left a company, if you left a people, and it was emotionally driven, and when you go home or when you're by yourself, you're still under attack, I want to let you know that it was not the people, it was not the church, it was not the pastor, it was not any of those things. It is you. It's called an emotional stronghold. And you are struggling because it lives inside of you. That's good teaching, Pastor. Thank you. It lives inside of you. Emotional strongholds. Keep that right on the screen just real quick. Emotional strongholds. Talk to me again, Pastor. Anger, depression, discouragement, frustration. Watch this. Inferiority complex. A lot of people functioning that way. Lack of self-esteem. And the list goes on. Whoop, I missed one. Fear. Fear will kill you. And these things emotionally are paralyzing you by your very own feelings. It's not a mistake that I've chosen us to study in this series concerning strongholds. Why did I choose strongholds and not addictions? Let me tell you the difference. The descriptive difference is because I want you to understand they're relatable between the two. But the reason I've chosen strongholds over addictions is because addiction is the world's view of explaining holding you hostage of something that you cannot shake. That's the world's view. I have an addiction, right? I have an addiction. I have an addiction. But say things like you're addicted to drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex, or whatever the case may be. But the problem with that word and the world's view suggests that I'm labeled as a powerless victim to my problem. And I, listen to it, do not have the ability to get out because somebody else caused it and or my bad genes keeps it with me. That's the world's view. The biblical word stronghold is, I told you, what's the difference between the secular word known as addiction versus the biblical word called stronghold? Simply this. A stronghold assumes the spiritual or a spiritual dimension. An addiction doesn't. You'll never go into an addiction program and they'll begin to share with you talking about strongholds or a spiritual dimension. Everything that they talk about is going to be tangible. It's really going to have nothing to do with the spiritual. And we know that because we deal with folks who are struggling, that's trying to battle a physical enemy instead of dealing with it on a spiritual level. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against... It's a spiritual world, in other words, a spiritual dimension that we wrestle with, that we cannot see. However, the benefactors, if you will, of that spiritual dimension become tangible or visible in our lives. It's good teaching today. So a stronghold is something invisible behind the scenes, cooperating with something visible on the scenes that keeps us trapped in our situation. And addiction means that you may never get out of it. A stronghold suggests if I can ever get the spiritual right, then my physical has no choice but to line up with my spiritual. Spiritual will always override the physical. That's why you're in the dilemma now. Somebody gonna catch that. The spiritual always overrides the physical. That's why you're in the dilemma now. Now, I know you saw me talking about spiritual dimension concerning spiritual warfare. That can mean good or bad. Spiritual does not mean good. It can be either or. So maybe I have a bad spiritual circumstance that is overriding my physical aspect of life. But when a good spiritual sense or circumstance is happening and my spiritual is growing, it has the capacity to take out my physical nature or physical incapabilities. Oh, man. Most of us, number one, I want to give this to you. What are the causes of emotional strongholds? What are the causes, Pastor? Well, let me hit them. What are the causes of emotional strongholds? I want to just give number one, media team. I just want to give number one, just hold it there. One of the causes of emotional strongholds could be just self-imposed sin. Self-imposed sin. In fact, all three of my slides, of my points here, are going to be dealing with sin. Emotional stronghold deals with sin. Now, hold it right there. Let me go back. What are the causes? Let me give you this analogy. Most of us in our house, I know I struggle with them, and some of them still don't have, don't tell on me, some of them still don't have batteries in them, but I struggle with what we would call smoke detectors. When we first moved in our house, they begin to go off, and I said, man, we only been in the house a few months, maybe a year or so. There's no reason why these smoke detectors should be going out. And you know what we do? We hit the reset button. It'd be 3 o'clock in the morning, hit the reset button. So I got upset one day, and I got me a ladder or a chair, whatever I grabbed. I don't know what I grabbed, but I went up there, and I ripped it out, and I took all the batteries out. You done it? Thank y'all for being honest. And then I realized the next night, I said, how is it that I've taken the batteries out of this smoke detector and it's still giving me an alarm? It's because, Pastor, foo-foo, I like to use that word a lot, right? The batteries were only for backup. They were hardlined into the electrical outlets. So you know what I did, being smart, like I think I am. I went up there, and I disconnected the wires. Just took them apart, disconnected. I don't know if I told the wife that or not. Disconnected. I had a guy at the house a few years ago, and his son fell through the roof because he's doing some work in the attic, and they repaired the roof. And he said, man, Mr. Long, I want to tell you something. You might want to go ahead and reconnect your detectors. Smart, it makes sense. Let me tell you why. When the smoke detector goes off in your home, it goes off to identify that there's smoke in your home. Most likely, watch this, produced by a fire. So it wouldn't be correct for you to take anything out of the smoke detector or take a hammer or something, a broom, and try to beat it out or silence the smoke detector. It wouldn't be correct. Because the annoying noise that it's making is so loud that it's supposed to get your attention. So all those things that we come up with would not be advisable. The smoke detector is not alarming you so that you can hear its noise. That's not why it's alarming you. The smoke detector is letting you know that you need to check out something else outside of the smoke detector. It's annoying because it does not want you to go to sleep. It's trying to identify that it's something greater than an alarm, and you just might possibly have a fire in a different part of the house. So our focus many times is on the person or the thing that's sounding the alarm. You know, I was thinking about a prophet. The prophet sounds the alarm. And a lot of times we're upset with the prophet, the pastor, the preacher sounding the alarm. And we're not sounding the alarm to annoy you. We're sounding the alarm to save your life. Tweet that. Right? We're sounding the alarm to let you know that it's time for you to check something outside of me. It's time for you to check something in your life that has the possibility of taking your life, that will take your life without asking you any questions. You'll never look at the smoke detector the same. What the smoke detector is in the house is your emotions to your soul. They are the signals that God has strategically placed inside of man to alarm us when something is wrong in our lives. He put them in there on purpose, called emotions. Now, I struggle with that because emotions have no sense of intelligence. And in fact, emotions really are dumb because they have no brain. So emotions are predicated based upon what we read, what we hear, and what's sounding in our ear gates. So whatever you hear, if it's no good and you take it in, watch this, it may have the possibility of taking your life. Emotions will sound off. There are people in your life where your emotions have sounded off and you chose to ignore them because you like what you saw. In fact, there's some people that you met for the first time and you know they're no good for you. And your emotions sounded off in a spiritual aspect, and you said, well, let me give it some time. Let me go a step further. You've hooked up with some folks who were not saved, and because you like what you saw, you like how they sounded, so you like what you hear, you like what they were driving, you like their residence, where they live, you said, maybe I can work on that person. Just maybe. But you fail to realize that we are just only vessels, tools, to help someone get to that place called salvation. We've never saved anybody. Let's just be honest. We've never saved anybody. Y'all better stop tripping, right? You ain't saved nobody. You used the word of God, Jesus the Christ. You were the person that gave the presentation with your lifestyle that changed the person's mindset. Really, it's not your great talking ability, it's your lifestyle. They're watching you. That's why many of have given that life, because you know what? I want to be like that. How is it that they see your testimony, they see you going through, they see you almost about to just lose it on the edge, and somehow, some way, God brings you back because you have a relationship. So you slide right back, right in there to his bosom, and they keep on opening up his arms and saying, come on in, baby, prodigal son, daughter, I know you left. Come on in, come on in. I'm still here. I never left you. And I certainly will not forsake you. Oh, watch this, watch this. So when you are emotionally distraught, as a lifestyle stronghold, and you spend all your time dealing with your emotional struggles, what happens then is that you are actually spending all of your time dealing with the smoke detector and never locating the fire. You're dealing with your smoke detector, but you're not locating the fire. You're dealing with people that are sounding off in your life, but you're not dealing with the fire. Talk to me. That's a problem. I'm talking to the church today. So when this happens, emotions are ways to let you know that something else is wrong and it's time to discover why my signal is going off. It's time to figure it out. Why do you have these indicators going off in your life? These buzzers, these beeps. You know, you're like, Sam, did I hear something? Did I hear something? Is that you? No. It's God. It's God telling you, wake up. Wake up. You're living in pain because you have not discovered where the pain comes from. But I've been sending off sounders in your life so that you can identify your pain. The reason why I've been sending off sounders is because I'm sick and tired of you blaming every Tom, Dick, and Harry about your problems. God says, I've been sounding off, and the people that you've been blaming aren't even, they're a long ways away from your pain and struggle. What you got to do is turn yourself to the mirror and say, woe is me. Y'all don't like that. Oh. Now, this raises a question. If I need to discover the signals that are going off because I got some problems and issues in my life, the question is, what is the cause of emotional struggles, not addictions, that are not physically tied to you? Answer, here it is. All, listen to me, all emotional strongholds that are not physically related to the illnesses of your body are related and rooted, listen to me, in sin. All of them, all emotional strongholds are related and rooted in sin. I'm not talking about some little old addictions. I'm not talking about a headache. I'm not talking about the little 12-step program we go through because we got some addictions, right? Those programs teach many of us how to cope with the issue. But this baby right here is not about coping. This right here is about deliverance. And when you realize as a man of God, as a woman of God, that I can no longer cope with these things because they're killing me and there's cancers in my life and I need to be delivered from them, baby, that is time that you can set your journey going through the process of freedom. Oh, that's good teaching. Thank you. Here it is. I'm teaching myself. Talk to me, Pastor. I will. I talk to myself. Come on. Here it is. Here it is. All emotional strongholds related and rooted in sin. Now, before you all attack me, can say, no, Pastor, my stuff ain't in sin. Now, I want to go back and watch me. Don't quote me. Watch me. Write it down. Listen, emotional strongholds in your life that are not dealing with the physical illnesses of your life are related and rooted in sin. I'm going to give you one. I've already given it to you. Number one, it's either rooted in your sin and or you brought it on yourself, right? Self impose sin. Number two, it can be rooted where? In someone else's sin. Talk to me about that a little bit, Pastor. Let me give it to you. It may be rape of the past. It may be molestation. It may be brutality. It may be scandal. Any form of abuse can cause you to live in a stronghold. Someone else's sin. That's number two. It's not your sin, but it's somebody's sin. Number three, it may be, hear these real deep folks talk about this, it may be rooted in what we would call atmospheric sin of the atmosphere. What is that about, Pastor? This means that you live in a world so contaminated by sin that there's something or someone that's always showing up to tear you down. In either case, it's sin. Why are they showing up? Always to tear you down. Number one, because you're in a place that you have no business being in. Number two, because you've done something like sin related to it or so on with that person. Now you're saved. Now they show up because they know about your sin past experiences. So they bring your past, I shared it this morning, into your life, into your situation, and they talk about your sin. They put it on the table, and it's something that you don't like. But let me tell you something, if you be mature enough and if you be a man or woman of God, you'll sit at the table with them and talk about your sin and talk about the hell that you used to put people through and talk about all your experiences. And now let me tell you, since you want to talk about that, let me tell you about what God has done, how he delivered me, how he changed me, how he moved me, how he molded me. That's who I used to be. Let me tell you who I am now. Now, if they're going to talk about something, let them talk about the full scope of your life. Don't mind you talking about my stuff. Look, listen, let me tell you, I done been a dog. I done been, I done used foul language. I done smoked a little weed. I done got drunk. Talk to me. I done came in late. I've done all those things, and I don't mind talking about it. Yes, sir. I don't mind. Let me tell you something, because you ain't been saved all your life. See, it feels good when you've been set free and knowing that you're not perfect. I've been saved all your life, and the truth be told, you ain't all the way. Woo! I had to go back there and wind it back up. Boy, y'all gonna cut me up. You ain't all the way there yet. And so how do we get here, Pastor? I thought you'd never ask. I'm almost closing. It's closing the moment. How do we get here? I don't believe a word you're saying. Show it to me in the text. Let's go. Genesis 3. God created Adam and Eve and put them, I'm paraphrasing here, so don't quote me on everything. Put them in the garden, right, into a perfect, you would agree with me on this, environment. He created Adam and Eve and put them in a perfect environment, flawless, and there was only joy, no negativity, no emotional experiences. Satan came on the scene, Genesis 3, Satan came on the scene and got Adam and Eve, listen, to rebel against God. Don't miss it, write it down. Verse 7, then the eyes of both were open and they knew they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. It's in the text. Now compare that scripture with chapter 2, verse 25. And the man and the woman were both naked, watch this, and were not ashamed. And the man and the woman were both naked and were not ashamed. And the man and the woman were butt naked and not ashamed. That means they didn't have any clothes on and they were not ashamed. Verse 25 of chapter 2, Genesis. In chapter 2, verse 25, they were not ashamed. But then after that, somebody say after that, they rebelled against God due to the influences of Satan. And because of the influence of Satan, chapter 3, watch this, verse 7, they are ashamed and they cover themselves. They weren't ashamed in the second chapter. They now are ashamed in the third chapter. And now they want to cover themselves from their daddy. You never covered yourself. In fact, I created you. You didn't have any fig leaves on you. What happened? Let's read the text. Don't take my word. They cover themselves. You hadn't been taking notes, write this down. So now we have the emotion of shame entered into the human race. I've got all three there. Don't show them yet until I get all three done. Now you have emotional, right? Emotion of shame entered into the human race. Verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord called and said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, and because I was naked. Number two. Now you have what we call the emotion of fear. So now they are ashamed and fearful. Never experienced it before, only until sin entered in and it changed the game in the human race. Watch this. It's still in the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Adam and Eve had two baby boys. We know them by Cain and Abel. The Bible says so on that God didn't accept Cain's offering. Verse 4, and Abel on his part also brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat portion. And the Lord had regard for the offering of who? Abel. But Cain, for his offering, he had no regard. And so Cain became very angry. And watch this. His countenance fell. His countenance fell. So now you have anger. Watch this. Depression entering into the human race. It said his countenance fell. Shame. Fear, now depression. Shame, fear, now depression. We're only in chapter 4 of Genesis, entering into the human race. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God at the counsel of Satan, shame entered into the human race. Fear entered into the human race. Now we have depression has now entered into the human race. Now, why and how did these emotions enter into the human race? The influence of sin entered into the life of men that caused them to now rebel against God. Every issue that you have is related to sin. The struggles that we have today are relatable to the issues of sin in our past life. Now, I want to give you this because there are three categories. Spiritual strongholds are rooted, watch this, in the pain, I just told you, of your past. And most of us have a history of pain in our past. Second, it's also rooted, watch this, in current pain. So now you have history, past tense, and now you have current situation. Now, you have the history, you have current, history, past, current, now, and watch this. Now we are fearful of tomorrow. So there's past, present, and future. Talk about a stronghold. Who wants to move in a world like that? I'm struggling because of my past. I'm really struggling now because my past is entering into my present because I haven't let go of my past. Not only that, now I'm also struggling because I don't know what tomorrow beholds. I don't know what happens if I get sick. I don't know what happens if I'm depressed. I don't know if I'm struggling with all these things. You have no clue who you are. Watch this. When you have no clue who you are because of the past, present, and the future, you automatically lose your identity. Good God Almighty. And if I lose who I am, then I don't know who I am in Christ. How can I be one in Christ and I don't know who I am? Let me give you where the church is. The church knows who Christ is. We just don't know who we are. The scripture that we read this morning says what? I am his workmanship, his masterpiece. I am a piece of the master. And how is it that I come here Sunday after Sunday quoting Bible scriptures and jumping up and down and I don't know who I am? The devil is a lie. We struggle because we allow other things that's not in the will of God to make us or break us. We wonder why we're fighting all those places. It's because, you know why? We are afraid of tomorrow because I'm afraid that you're going to bring up my past. I'm afraid that someone's going to show up that knows my current situation. And now I'm really struggling because I don't know what tomorrow beholds. I told you how these things enter in. You can feel it in the room. You can feel the tension. It's because it's right, it's truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will be the only thing that's going to set you free. But if I be a man of God, and if I be somebody, because I am somebody in Christ Jesus, just let me close with a little bit of this. Because I'm somebody and I'm going through some of these emotional, spiritual strongholds, because we relate spiritual with strongholds, because I'm somebody, I have to think about the things that God has done for me to help me in my current situation. Not only do I think about what God has done for me, I think about what God is going to do for me. Although I'm in my rut and I'm in my struggles, I know this is touching. Nobody wants to talk about it. Let me help you out. I just identified and you ain't paid no money for it and you hadn't signed up for it and they didn't call you in the clinic. Guess what? This is the clinic. This is the clinic of heaven, of Jesus Christ. And this is a place that you come and get your nourishment. This is a place that you come get your prescription. This is the place. That's why it says, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. Watch this. In the text, I'm reminded in the text, if anybody has gone through, I believe that it's my brother and my homeboy by the name of the Apostle Paul. Paul says right here in the text in 2 Corinthians 11, I'll somewhere start maybe in the 22nd, 23rd verse. He begins to say, watch this, so am I dealing with struggles. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of the Christ, of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times, I recently 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. You want to talk about depression and being stressed out? 3 times I was shipwrecked. Paul says, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in the perils of waters, in the perils of robbers, in the perils of my own countrymen, watch this, my own people, my own family of the Gentiles, among false brethren, sounds like the church to me, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides other things, what comes upon me daily? He says, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul, in his issues and turmoil, has to encourage himself. He says, my deep concern for churches. He says, now, if anybody is going to be stressed out and depressed, it should be me. It shouldn't be the church. It shouldn't be the flock. He says, I've done all those things, been through all those things. So listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Y'all remember a group by the name of the Temptations. What year did Temptations write that song, My Girl? Y'all know? Uh-oh. What year? What year? What did the Temptations write the song? Okay, give me 76. Okay, between the 60s and the 70s. Let's go with that right there. Right? Y'all trying to check E and D and it's only A, B, C, D. But he says in the text, but these guys singing this song, and, you know, I don't go that far back, but I do like the song. I heard the song. The song is about my girl. He says, I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. Where my minstrels at? Come on. I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. He says, when it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. He says, well, I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? I like what the brother says. He says, my girl. I'm talking about, just in case you didn't know, my girl. I've got so much honey, the bees envy me. I've got a sweeter song than the birds in the trees. Well, I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? My girl. What am I talking about? Who am I talking about? I'm talking about my girl. Now let me flip this and tell you about the Christian and how we walk in life. When you're walking through life and you've got rain on the outside, you say, I've got sunshine on a rainy day. What are you talking about, Pastor? Even when it's cold outside, because he lives inside of me, even when it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. Well, I guess, because you don't have a relationship, that you would say, I guess that you would say, what can make me feel this way? My God. I guess you would say, what can make me feel this way? Let me go 70s and 60s. My God. When I've got people talking about me, trying to put the church down, I guess you would say, what can make me feel this way? My God. Y'all give me a hand clap because I ain't got no musician. My God. I guess if you're living right and you're walking the narrow path, when those enemies and those so-called friends say, what are you talking about? You turn, you say, I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? My God. I may have lost my house, my car. What makes me feel this way? My God. They may have walked out of my life. What can make me feel this way? My God. Even though they leave me in the church, even though they forsake you, what can make you feel this way? My God. Y'all make sure y'all seek out and have them put their resumes in for a keyboardist. Y'all raise your hands. All right. Let's all stand over the place. Let's stand over the building. I'm looking for somebody to play the keyboard, y'all. Y'all let me know. The organ, anything. If you play, come holler at me at the service. Okay. Here we go. That's a struggle in the body of Christ. I mean, everybody looks great. Everybody looks great. Y'all look great today. But if I could cut the top of your head open and look into your mind, I wonder what would I see? I wonder what would I see? I wonder how many hurts, past hurts would I see? See, it's not that you're going to have past hurts because we all got them. It's not that you're a saint now and used to be a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory. That's the word. The problem is that when I look inside, I see those things controlling and manipulating your life. Baby, those are called strongholds. Those are called strongholds. Pastor, I used to be an addict. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to have an addiction. Guess what? If those things are still taking over your life, now they are strongholds. We're in a spiritual sense now. Well, Pastor, I don't drink anymore. Those are things that are behind the scenes, past, that's still affecting your present. Pastor, you don't understand. I was raped when I was a young girl. I was raped when I was a young man. I was sexually molested. I was all these things, strongholds. You owe it to God. Not anybody else. You owe it to God to come out of your past and your current situation. And if I could get just a little deep and a little spiritual on it, you'll come out of your future. How so, Pastor? Because if you don't change, you take all of that mess into your future. Yeah. I hate to tell you, but nothing is going to get better. Nothing is going to get better. You can call the devil what you want to call him, but nothing is going to get better until you attack that stronghold that's holding you in your life. You have to be sold out and 100% totally delivered from that mess. I thought when I got saved, I was set free. You were saved today. Your past will come and haunt you. What good is a saved person going to heaven on hell, on earth living in hell? What good? No. That's not the God that we serve. That's not the God that we serve. I thank you, God. Thank you for allowing me to go to heaven. Thank you for, you know, dying on the cross, shedding the blood for me. But you also told me because the kingdom of God shall resonate on earth that I shall have life now and more abundantly shall I have it. Overflowing, plentiful. That's what we're supposed to have. I ain't talking about no house and no car. I'm not talking about a lot of money. I'm talking about love, peace, joy. You ain't got it. You ain't got it. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. This is good stuff, Pastor. This is it. If the Holy Ghost is talking to you, if the Holy Ghost is talking to you, I want you to just tell them to move. Come on down. Need a lot of words today. Move. Come on, tell your neighbor, move out of the way. Come on down. Come. God knows. God knows what you struggle with. It's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. God knows what you're struggling with. You don't have to tell nobody in the room. God knows. It's called a stronghold. Put your shoulders down. Relax. Give it to God. We're trying to hold up all this stuff. Trying to be buff in the church. Devil sitting back laughing, saying, you know you're still struggling. You know you're still struggling. Today you're to come. Today you're to come. I love it because nobody has to know. Today you're to come. Nobody has to know. Today you're to come. It's God talking. Today you're to come.